Welcome to the Resilient Nurse Podcast, where we discuss the tools and practices nurses, as in faculty, students, and new nurses, are using to renew and amplify their resilience. This podcast is a special series within the Johns Hopkins School of Nursing's On the Pulse podcast. In each episode, we cover the complexities, the misconceptions, and often the new pathways toward keeping our nursing workforce resilient throughout Maryland and even beyond. Our podcast comes out of the R3 initiative, which stands for Renewal, Retention, and Resilience in Maryland Nurses. I'm your host, Nancy Reller. We know that new nurses experience many stressors as they transition from nursing school into practice. To help with this transition, all Maryland acute care centers have implemented a nurse residency program. To learn more about these programs and their relationships with the R3 initiative, I have two really wonderful expert guests. We are so grateful to partner with Dr. Jennifer Stevenson Zip, who is the executive director of the Maryland Nurse Residency Collaborative, which is a special committee under the auspices of the Maryland Organization of Nurse Leaders. She is also a very active member of the R3 Coordinating Council. Welcome, Dr. Zip. Happy to have you.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Also with us is Sarah Stewart. Sarah is the supervisor of the nurse residency program at Sinai Hospital in Baltimore, which is part of the LifeBridge Health System. Sarah, so happy to have you with us.
So happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Jen, I'd love to start with you. We may have many listeners who are not at all familiar with the nurse residency program. Could you tell us what it is, sort of the structure, and maybe a little bit about why it's in place?
Sure, absolutely. Nurse residency program basically is a support program for new to practice nurses who are in their first year of nursing. Here in Maryland, all of the acute care hospitals use the Vizient AACN vendored program, and that's a proprietary program. So I can't talk much about the structure, but I can say that it is a 12-month program. And if you're interested in knowing more about how our organization, which I'll talk about in a second, got involved with Vizient, we have a podcast too that the whole history of the Maryland Nurse Residency Collaborative is that first episode. So you can check that out. It's the MNRC Connection. It's on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. But for those that might be residents listening, I will say that if you are in Maryland and you decide to work in Maryland in an acute care setting, you will be enrolled in a nurse residency program just because every one of our acute care centers have it. There is a number of pieces to the residency program, a little bit about the structure. They are facilitated at each institution by a nurse residency program coordinator. So Sarah, our other guest here today, is one of our MNRC coordinators. And they pretty much, she can talk more about this, but they pretty much oversee the day-to-day operations of the program. They implement the program. They often teach a lot of the sessions. And then there could possibly be some additional nurse residency program staff that help facilitate discussions and teach some of the curriculum, depending on the size of the institution. And so that's a bit about the programs themselves. I'll say that the Maryland Nurse Residency Collaborative is a special committee under Mono, like you said, and we basically just support the leadership, the coordinators, and the staff of all the hospitals in the state of Maryland. We provide resources, implementation strategies for the program, and we also are sort of a statewide voice or platform, if I can say that, for our programs. And so we give them a voice statewide. They also hear from us about things going on across the state. And so it just keeps them informed, but also helps them to be better coordinators. And so we also have an academic practice partnership that we have a statewide advisory board. And so our academic partners, who are very much a big part of our programs, get to have some input. And also we get to hear from them. and they hear from us, from the residency side or from the practice side. So it just provides a wealth of information. So that sort of structure from the programs at each institution themselves. And then we just sort of help resource each of the coordinators at all of the institutions.
Mm-hmm. So help us understand the why behind the NRP. What's important about the program?
Yeah, so it's funny too, because we just had Vizient on to talk about why, what's the evidence behind NRPs on our podcast too. In a nutshell, and I'll elaborate on this, but the NRPs are in place as a result of the enormous amount of research that supports them, basically telling us that our new nurses, they absolutely need support in that first year. As a profession, we were seeing nurses leave the profession and leave the institution in that first year due to what we call reality shock. New to practice nurses, they get a great deal of theory in school. They do really well to prepare them to sit for their boards, and they have this like great basic knowledge. But when they come out, we consider them at an advanced beginner's level of competence when they come out. And so they're not necessarily ready for practice. I'm using air quotes if you can't see me, but ready for practice. And they aren't ready for that reality that kind of only experience can give them. Mm-hmm. And so they hit their units and they're hired, and they not only have to learn nursing, they have to learn to be a professional. For some of them, it's their first professional job. They're learning about 401ks, all that is involved in being a nurse in that first year. And it's incredibly stressful. Mm-hmm. So the new to practice nurse comes out and they need support. And they need augmentation to the learning, and then they need to learn to apply this learning. So all of that, and what their evidence found is that they need support. They need support from their organizations, and they need peer support. So someone that they can go through this with and basically say they're in it with someone, they're all kind of going through it together. And without that added support from hospitals or that even that peer support, where we were losing our nurses from the units and hospitals and from the profession. And that was a huge deal. And so back in 2010, the IOM's Future of Nursing report came out, and they had 8 recommendations that basically called for hospitals to implement transition to practice programs in order to recruit and retain nurses. And so, of course, Maryland jumped on board of that recommendation. And this is all in our sort of history of the MNRC. I won't go into the long history, but jumped on that recommendation and really were like, how are we going to get all of our institutions to start transition to practice programs? Maryland is the first state in the nation to have every acute care hospital providing an NRP.
Wow. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
You should be celebrating on and on about that. I know that report pretty well. I was involved with it back then. But mm-hmm. I didn't realize that NRPs were almost this recent in a way. So that's wonderful. Tell us what you've learned about the gaps in education and practice that are related to resilience and ethical practice.
Right. So we've learned a lot on the practice side. I know that schools across Maryland have even most recently revised their curriculum to include more topics on resilience and wellness. I know ethical practice and nursing ethics is a critical part of the nurse residency program and has been. They've increased these topics, though, related to ethical practice and related to wellness and resiliency just across the board. I think the need during the pandemic was critical. We've heard a lot. There was just this hyper focus on including that type of education and also those practices in those areas. R3 had a huge piece in that. They had a lot to do with the state of Maryland and our residency programs really having materials to do that. So R3 has provided a lot of resources. Vizient added a ton of resources for residents as well. Mm-hmm. So I would say the areas that still we continue to see, and I would say still are some gaps in these areas specifically, are stress. Our data from the residency standpoint shows that stress is a huge, huge deal. It's a huge factor for our new to practice nurses. One of the top reasons nurses leave their jobs is stress related to family obligations, believe it or not, but stress in the job, stress with workload. We know that the move to virtual during the pandemic has led to actually just a decrease in their perception of peer support and job satisfaction. So we're trying to get our programs to be more back in person as much as possible. We also know that at baseline, the number one stressor for, if you can imagine, for our new to practice nurses is fear of doing harm. And then by month 12, it's the workload that is the hugest stressor from a work standpoint. And so I think we saw an even greater impact in this data when we saw a decrease in the clinical hours related to the pandemic. But we started to see these numbers come back as clinical started to come back more on board. And we started to see schools going back to the clinical sites instead of just doing simulation. And so we saw some improvement in those numbers. But I will say with resilience, that big piece is stress and expectations where stressors are concerned. So family is the big one, but then also doing no harm and workload.
I can't imagine a profession that is under more stress, particularly at the beginning of a one's career. I mean, it's just so intuitive that this would be needed. And
yeah,
beyond the basics of the R3 modules, which, you know, they're close to 30 modules that will be up on the website. I know we've prepared some specifically for nurse residency programs. Can you tell us a little bit about what stood out for you? What seemed to be particularly useful?
Yes. The topics that R3 provided that really stood out were the mindfulness exercises that are on there and the several breathing exercises. I know she has one on box breathing. Then there's like a 4-7-8 breathing practice. Super simple, quick exercises that can be done at the beginning of every session that can help eliminate some stress for the resident, kind of reset the resident, help them learn their own practices. And I know that what's on the plate and the self-stewardship modules were big ones, not only for our residents, but for our coordinators, because it really helps you to look at where you are allotting your priorities. And so that self-stewardship one in helping them manage their workload is a big one, I think, for coordinators and residents. I also know that your team, Dr. Rushton and Nancy, your team has built specifically for our residents, addressing hard things, giving and receiving feedback, belonging and asking for and receiving support and resources. And those were a result of a conversation that Cinda and I had about what the coordinators were recognizing the residents really, really needed. And mostly the new to practice nurses need resources for communication, but also understanding the need and the importance of having a sense of belonging in an organization, because it's not just about learning how to do the job. If you feel like you belong somewhere, if you feel like you belong in that organization, you're more likely to stay. And so one of the biggest outcomes is retention for a residency program. Mm-hmm. We want them to understand how we can help retain them as an organization. I think if they know how to look for that themselves as well, to create a sense of belonging for themselves, it's huge. It's a win for us. So we those stood out.
Yeah. And I think belonging is something that's happening everywhere, or a lack of belonging leads to a lack of engagement. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everything that your residents are experiencing is just a thousandfold. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So thank you for this overview. It's super helpful. Yeah. Sarah, I want to bring you into this conversation. You're on the ground, you know, day in and day out, directing your residency program. I'd love to know, what do you see as the importance of integrating these resilience tools and practices really intentionally?
Yeah, absolutely. Nursing is a really difficult career. You're exposed to the very best and the very worst of people on a daily basis, and it's physically and emotionally exhausting. On top of that, the recent changes with COVID really made a significant impact on this profession that was already stretched thin. We were already on the verge of a nursing crisis when COVID hit.
Right.
We were seeing shortages, and then we had nurses leave the field altogether. So nurses that were close to retirement age retired because they were exhausted. The nurses that were just coming in were like, ooh, this might not be for me. And they left. So there are just so many things that happened that made this difficult career even harder. And then I love how Jen described that as that reality shock. When these new nurses are coming in, they're kind of taken aback again, bringing COVID back into it. Some of them spent a majority of their nursing education virtual. So they had no interaction with patients or family members. They had no practice doing these education pieces or having real conversations. So it was a lot for them. And we saw a lot of gaps and a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety when they had to do those things for the first time. I truly believe that integrating resilience into practice at the very start ground level as they enter the field gives them those tools to really identify and combat the fear and anxiety and emotional exhaustion from the start instead of waiting until they're burnt out to address it. We see a lot where in the field, when they're starting to declare that intent to leave, or a traumatic event happens. And then it's like, okay, let's address mental wellness. Let's pull in all these resources to talk to you, to keep you, to retain you. Well, oh, okay, you want to leave. What can we do to help? When we do that in the beginning, it's easier for them to identify that feeling is starting to pile up and escalate, and they can address it right at the start instead of waiting until sometimes it's too late. Yeah. So we're really trying to be proactive instead of reactive for our staff.
Yeah, it's building up that reservoir of knowledge and training our brains to just go there.
Yes, easily, absolutely. Right? We set them up with the tools and the support system, and we try and prepare them for the hard things and say, hey, like, here are some options. Here are some potential things that'll happen. Hopefully they never do. But if it happens, here's how we can help you. Here's what you can do to help yourself. And not only that, but it validates them when that does happen to them and they don't feel as isolated. Instead of the first thing in their mind going, I can't believe this happened to me. It's, oh, I know so-and-so went through the same thing. Let me reach out and see what helped them make it through.
Ah, that's back to Jen's point about the sense of belonging.
Yeah.
That people are in it together. So I know you've used a couple of the modules in your NRP. Tell us about the ones you've used, why you selected them, and what you've learned.
There's two that come to mind. One we just did, I think 2 weeks ago, was the incivility module, mm-hmm. which addresses unprofessional behavior specifically with a preceptor-orientee relationship. Mm-hmm. And then the what's on your plate module. Those are two of my favorites. There's a few of them that we do, but these are two, what I call like the heavy hitters that we really pull into every single one of our cohorts. For the incivility module, I personally love that one. And I feel that's one of the more important modules that we do because it addresses that real world problem that the residents are bound to run into. We do it during their second month with us. So all of them are still on orientation. They have all either experience this or have the potential to experience it. And I know when we first pulled in the module and started talking about using it, there was some concerns because it's not a positive topic. So there always does seem to be a big push to keep things light and positive out of fear of scaring the residents away.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. I think avoiding the hard topics isolates them even more. And it's important to cover these difficult and uncomfortable topics in a safe space so that the residents are prepared on how to address it if it happens. And if it has happened to them, they have an open venue to talk about it. And again, not feel so isolated.
And Sarah, that I think that's, you just hit the nail on the head right there, is that the difficult conversations are important. And what better place to do them than in the residency session when you have experienced nurses and an NRP coordinator who can guide them through their feelings about it, how to manage it. Yeah, I agree.
It's so important, and that the support around it. I think you guys could take this to every industry in America, you know, because we don't get this kind of support. You and I have talked, Sarah, a little bit about helping nurses understand certain communication elements. Yes. And that thing around, you said to me, which I thought was so fascinating, difference between being aggressive and being assertive. And
yes,
it's not an easy thing to know, especially when we're in these situations that our emotions are running rampant. So talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely. I think this is one of the biggest things that I've noticed with the recent cohorts coming in is that, and it's one of the things that I absolutely love about this new generation, is that they are willing to speak out and they're passionate about speaking out. But because this is often their first professional career, sometimes when they speak how maybe they would text or type in an email, it can come across a little abrupt. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we've really been focusing on this year specifically is helping them fine tune that and telling them that, hey, what you're saying is absolutely correct and what you're saying is very important, but here's the best way to say it so it comes across how you want it to and gets the results that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. What kind of feedback are you getting, both of you? Well, let's start with you, Sarah. What are you hearing?
We hear a lot of positive feedback. I think resilience is always going to be a very polarizing topic just because everyone is coming from a different mindset, a different level of experience in mental health. Even like mental wellness in itself is such a new science that's breaking through.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a lot of different perspectives on it. I will say again, with the feedback we get from the residents, a lot of it is very positive and saying that I feel reassured that this topic is being recognized as a new grad. So it's a lot of that. We feel validated that this is recognized.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. We try and frame our sessions at the very, very beginning of our program, workshop one, to say, hey, mm-hmm. we are going to do multiple, and we call them our toolbox sessions. We do them at the beginning of almost every single workshop, and we tell them not everything is for everyone. So our hope is that by giving them maybe 10 different tools for their toolbox, they'll find 5 that are useful. So even when we don't have the most positive feedback, so I always say like yoga is one of our most polarizing topics, like we have residents that love it and beg for more of it. And we have residents that are like, please stop making us do these stretches. Like, it's, but even if it's not like their favorite topic, they respect that we're doing it to help them. And mm-hmm. they acknowledge that sometimes their peers are really getting something out of it.
Yeah, boy, that is so respectful that they can discern the difference between what am I getting out of it and maybe could someone else get out of it. Jen, from your vantage point, what kind of feedback are you getting about the need for resilience?
I would say from a statewide level and even a right. national level, in sitting on a number of advisory boards, the need for resilience, the need for a nurse to understand how to cope. And not just nurses, I mean, I think healthcare professionals, and that's the big, in these national meetings, it is, we're seeing a huge shortage in nursing, but we're seeing a shortage in respiratory therapists and physicians, and tag on the pandemic, just healthcare professionals in general, we need them to stay.
Right, right.
And we want them to know how to stay, because we certainly don't want someone to be miserable and unhappy and not know how to cope with what they're seeing and dealing with.
That's so good. It is so, so, so good. As we wind down, I think it's important for us to stay on the side that sees a bright future.
Mm-hmm.
And would love to know from each of you, what excites you about the future?
You know, what's funny? I saw a meme once. The meme said, I wish people would stop talking about resilience and just start actually changing the environment. And while I appreciate that comment, I think that's unrealistic, because a lot of resilience is adapting to change. You're adapting to change, and every industry, not just healthcare, is changing. It's constantly changing. Mm-hmm. And so I think that nurses are always going to need to be resilient. But I do hope for a future where nurses don't have to be as resilient as we're needing them to be right now in this current mm-hmm. environment. Mm-hmm. I think the pandemic, nurses are sort of needing to be extra resilient right now. And so I basically just kind of hope for healthier work environments. And there's so many organizations working on that right now. I have so much hope for that, in that we're always going to need to be resilient, but perhaps not as resilient as we've needed in this current environment. I see it happening. I see it coming.
Yeah. Well, I do think nurses are among, if not the most resilient professionals, people on the planet. So it's just supporting that and giving them ways, as you said, I think to grow from the challenges that they face. Sarah, what about you? What hope do you have for the future? Or maybe you want to make a pitch for why someone should go to nursing school.
Ooh, all of the above.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
Platform.
I got really excited when you said, like, what are you excited for in the future? Just because I love this new generation of nurses. They're bold. They're not afraid to speak up when they see injustice. They're really strong advocates. And I genuinely believe that cultivated and steered in the right direction, I truly think that they're going to change what nursing looks like for the better. Mm-hmm. I can really see this group making innovative changes to move the whole profession forward, to really buy into the importance of self-care and resilience.
That's good.
And have it be something that's truly infused in the culture. So like a culture of resiliency, instead of, oh yes, we recognize that it's important. This is part of one of our priorities, essentially. Like, this is what we do. We are resilient. We do self-care. We recognize the importance of setting boundaries. And I think long-term, I just really think they're going to be the next generation of leaders that, again, change what nursing as a profession looks like. I think we're going to start retaining more staff. I think it's going to have positive impacts for both nurses and patients. For nursing school, we can't move nurses forward. We can't move the profession forward. We can't have all these really cool changes if we don't have new nurses coming in that are willing to speak up and be a voice and take ownership of their role and say, hey, this is what it should look like. I'm going to be the one to take that step and make it happen.
Wow. I personally am feeling like my childhood self, where I wanted to go to nursing school. I think I would go back based on what you just said, Sarah. That was so inspiring. We are really in a place of negativity, but I think you just did the model speech.
I love my job. I have nurses when they're coming in and they're excited and they want to change the world and they want to do all these things. And I'm like, my job is just to keep them in that happy, positive bubble and give them all the tools to do the things they want to do and keep them here and supported and happy and healthy and all of those things. So it's just,
It's so great. Thank you to both of you. I really appreciate myself knowing more about NRP. Jen, for all you do on not only a Maryland level, but a national level. And Sarah, thank you for the day in and day out, boots on the ground, being there for new nurses. Thank you for being so supportive of our three, both of you. So you've been an important part of this initiative. So thank you so, so much.
Thank you for letting us come on and share about that. We're very proud of our collaboration with our three as well.
The R3 website hosts over 30 resilience tools and practices for faculty, students, and new nurses throughout Maryland. Also found on the website are beautifully designed and easy to use free social media graphics. The R3 website address is nursing.jhu.edu/R3. We hope you'll join us next time for the Resilient Nurse Podcast. Funding for R3 comes from the Nurse Support Program 2 grant, administered by the Maryland Higher Education Commission, and is funded through the Health Services Cost Review Commission.